Call the October 18th Committee of the Whole meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Is here.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Is excused.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2, review of the recommended budget. Mr. Liberta.
With the permission of the council, there were a couple items that individual members asked for and a couple that staff had indicated they would bring forward. So what I will do without objection is pass those out and walk through them quickly so that we can get on to any questions you might have.
Good.
This first item is the issue that we mentioned last time with the concern relative to the reduction in exempt computer aids. After the recommended budget was submitted, the state gave us notification of a reduction in our exempt computer aids, and it was a reduction from a previous notice that they gave us. So our estimate was based on their earlier estimate from, I think, July, which amounted to around $113,000. I indicated the last committee of the whole where you discussed the budget that we believed we would have a solution that would fill that. And last night at the Personnel Committee meeting, the Personnel Committee did recommend a change in health insurance and health insurance provider, carrier, stop-loss provider that is on your regular agenda for later this evening. If that is approved, that will enable health insurance rates to not have to bear a 5% increase for 2017, but again remain fixed. That in conjunction with the already anticipated employee premium share increase from 13.5% to 14% does generate the health cost savings by department listed on the sheet. There's also some savings to the other funds listed at the bottom. The general fund portion offsets that net adjustment in the reduction in computer aids with the slight increase in shared revenue and the slight decrease in expenditure restraint revenue. So that is one action that we would recommend the committee of the whole approve and incorporate into the budget that goes to public to the public hearing.
So said differently, the $124,190 in savings is not a reduction in anybody's budget because of any changes made by this council, but savings from the health insurance renegotiation.
Yes.
So the department heads don't have to yell at me tomorrow morning and you tonight.
Yeah. And for the public's interest that's here, the city participates in something called the Business Healthcare Group, which is an association of major employers in the southeast Wisconsin market, including the Journal, Rockwell International, Kohl's, it's a Badger Meter, it's a large group covering nearly 50,000 lives. And so they do have some weight in the market. And 2 years ago, while we were members, they worked out a new deal with United Healthcare that's sort of on the forefront of where good health care is going. And it's to our benefit to join this year, and it comes in significantly under what we would expect to occur with the Humana proposal, and gives us protections in that fund of up to $600,000, but it relates in a premium of about the $100,000. So if this is something that you want to occur, I believe the agenda identifies that motion to tentatively modify the mayor's recommended budget to incorporate the changes.
Can we do that here, right now?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Or if somebody went from personnel want to make it, that's fine with me. I'll withdraw my motion. You guys do that.
Then, yeah, I'll make it. And then
second it.
Okay, so the motion is to tentatively modify the mayor's budget by the reductions outlined in the document distributed by...
In the exempt computer aid and health cost changes sheet.
And the total is a reduction of $124,190, which offsets $113,000 in lost revenue.
General fund, yeah.
So that motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. It's a recommendation for later on this evening. Mr. LaBerta.
The second one we'll bring to your attention.
Thank you. The state has a program called Expenditure Restraint Program. This is a program where the state shares some revenues with those cities that have a tax mill rate that exceeds $5 per, or 5 cents, and also controls their spending to a formula which the state has set up. The formula is inflation over the previous year, as well as 60% of the growth.
Oh, what did you say, $5 to 5 cents?
A mill rate of 5. And so that's would be $5 per thousand, equate to $5 per thousand. And it's on an equalized rate as opposed to an assessed rate. So while we talk to you and the public here about the assessed rate, it's the equalized rate, which is always a little bit different than our assessed rate. At this point in time, the mayor's recommended budget would qualify for the program if we make the change that's noted at the bottom of this memo. But I would ask you to hold off on that until we get the final information from the state later this month on the expenditure restraint program. What we're trying to do is alert you to the fact that we have used the contingency reserve, the restricted contingency reserve, to bring the city's expenditures up to the maximum amount possible and still qualify under this program. We don't ever expect to spend that money, but it allows us to be able to do it if an emergency came along and still stay within the state's program. We'll get the final information from the state in about 2 weeks on what that is, and then we'll make a recommendation to you on how to adjust the contingency reserve when we come to the public hearing meeting. So we're just giving you a heads up that that's coming.
Questions?
Paul, you want to pass these out?
Alderman Dandridge.
Start on that side.
Paul, is this this year's budget, or is it the upcoming budget?
We're talking about 2017, okay. So it's the budget that you're about to adopt. The state does a look back to 2015 and what was the inflation in 2015 to use as your qualifier, and then they look at your budget for 2017 to calculate the amount of the expenditure restraint revenue.
So it says here that the inflation rate was less than zero?
Correct, for the period that they look at. So they then use zero for the amount that you can increase your expenses. They don't ask you to reduce them.
Okay. So are we going to be receiving any type of a credit?
Included in the mayor's recommended budget is an expenditure restraint revenue of $210,000. That's our current estimate of what the city will receive. And that's on page 47 of your budget book.
Okay.
So what the city would risk is $210,000 worth of revenue if we don't qualify under this program. And we carefully monitor it so that we make sure the city continues to qualify under the program.
Okay, thanks.
The next sheet I handed out is a little longer, but don't worry, I'm not going to read all the way through it. Okay. It's more of a summary for you, but I will take a little bit of time. I was asked to sort of pull together a little clear understanding of how some contracts and contracted items come up at the city and what their sort of scope is. So to do that, what I did was pull together a summary. So all of this comes directly from the budget book you have. And it takes the subtotal called contractual services. So I'll start up at the top right corner of the document. There's that little table there that actually comes right out of page, I think, 46 of your budget. That's a summary of the general funds total expenditures of the $25.8 million. Most of that, $20 million of it, is the personnel benefits and all of that because we're a labor-intensive organization. Of that, there's about $2 million, a little over that, that is contracted services. That's a subcategory of our accounting codes. So I took those and printed out all of the footnotes and the line items from in the budget into one document, gave me about 500 lines, and I worked through those and took out the ones where we really have some control over how to spend them. The remaining ones are these 49 lines on the front page where we have very limited control. And that amounts to about $1.8 million of the $2 million of the general fund. So you can see a lot of those are we don't have a lot of control over. And then I sorted them sort of by topical area so I could talk about them briefly. Obviously, you can see our software maintenance. We have a lot of computer systems, everything from police department to desktop pieces to our mainframes to the court software to small pieces of software. And each of the departments that has these, usually we buy the maintenance agreement that comes with it. That's standard in the industry that you have to buy the maintenance agreement to get the service, to get the upgrades. And you can see we have about, if you add those up, it's around $150,000 worth of software maintenance agreements we pay every year. Now, if you went into each of the individual line items in the department, you will find some small portion of that is often, this year I paid $1,500 and I've added $100 for estimated cost increase next year, because we don't always know what it is. So there is some small portion of that that is maybe controllable, or maybe at the end of the year they end up $50 or $100 under budget. Some of the bigger ones, like the police departments, I think that $68,000 has a couple thousand dollars that says other, meaning they're not exactly sure, or things come up during the year. So data processing services and GIS support, those are actually staff because we contract those out. So it's lists as a contractual service, but it's really staff that are working here that support the data processing efforts, except for the, I put in that, the programming of the voting machines because it's in that same line item title. Another big group there is equipment maintenance. So a lot of these, again, have maintenance contracts that we have to carry. Everything from our phone systems to our voicemail to our Avaya AT&T contract where they come in as soon as we call them and work to fix things, to all of our copier leases, our postage machines, printer agreements. Most of these, when we buy them, have maintenance agreements with them. Now, not all of those. So some of those line items, I think, for example, again, I'll use a police department one, the data and telephone cabling police department. Part of that is maintenance agreements. Part of it comes into repair costs if they have to call in the service person. So there is a little bit of flexibility in those. Same thing sort of happens in some of the sundry contracts. Many of them are fixed and we have no choice over. In the middle of that group, state manufacturing charges, the state sends us a bill, we have to pay it. They do the assessment on manufacturing properties, and we pay whatever bill they send us. What's Department 211?
Please.
I believe that one, 5299. So if you look on page, what is page 3? It says part 3, page 2 on the back. So these last three pages, I'll jump ahead. So after the front page of the document, I pulled some of the actual detail from the footnote. So some of the more interesting one you could see in that specific example. So it's near, very near the bottom on page 3. Sundry contractors, ProShed, they spend about a little over $100 a month. That has, they have secure locked garbage cans throughout the police department, as we do here when we have confidential documents or things that have information like names and social security numbers. We throw them away in that, and a company comes, dumps it into a secure garbage can, and then takes it and shreds it, and that's an industry standard, and we participate in that. They have a crime bureau that they, the Department of Justice, they have to pay. They have a hard drive destruction. When you finish with a computer, you just don't throw the laptop out and away. You pull the laptop before you dispose of the computer, and then those go to a company usually to get shredded as well. So they did itemize, and you can see of that group, so of that 27, they have 5,000 that was for other, and they've identified it, used for a variety of services, including canine vet care, canine boarding, and towing fees. Now, of that, 2,600 was already reduced when we were trying to balance the budget. We had to go through a lot of individual line items. This was one where we effectively reduced some of that other cushion that they had already. So I won't run through this anymore, but as you can see, the portion of the budget that isn't personnel, that $5 million, it is difficult to do across the board because there's lots of areas where we have contractual commitments and obligations. So what happens is you end up really impacting individual certain line items. So I Alderman Barber, this I know sort of was generated by a question you had asked me after the meeting, so hopefully this answers your question.
Alderman Barber.
It does, and I want to thank you and your staff for putting this together. It helps us define what's kind of nebulous.
Yeah.
The contractors that discussed at the last meeting that we talked about. So I was just wondering what other ones were out there, and this helps me understand that.
Yeah. And it all of this actually comes directly out of the budget book in front of you, and it was sorted right off the system and just pulled together and organized a little differently to help provide that understanding. The last one I think that I have, and it's not formatted very well, but it was a general question of, well, if we had to reduce the budget, what kinds of ideas might be under consideration? So working with some ideas that Paul had and some brainstorming and just things that come up reading through the budget and general ideas as an administrator, these are all not necessarily good ideas. But if, you know, sometimes if you want to make cuts, sometimes you have to cut actual items. We have unemployment budgeted. Some years we don't spend any. We don't have total control over it. You don't just pay unemployment if you lay somebody off. You can have somebody go to a new job somewhere else and get laid off from there. And if we were their employer at any time in the last year, we're going to pay part of their unemployment costs. So I don't recommend cutting that, but we don't have it every year. If it came up, I'd have to come back for a budget modification. I put this one as an example, police department car washers. They identified it in that sheet that you have. Most communities like to do that. I've seen communities do things like turn off street lights on days, because a lot of them you can program and you can reduce individual operating costs and go through departments. So I just use this as an example. You don't need to wash cars as much. You do if you want to live in a community that's proud of itself. But there are communities I've seen in my profession that takes those kinds of things out because they're looking for those nickels and dimes. So I use that as that example. I think the next 2,400 could likely be cut out, because if the capital programs approved for the IT department as it is, this would be extra. But as I noted at the initial budget presentation, right now our under-expend line item budget is so high relative to the total budget, and we've cut everything so low, that I am concerned, as I stated at that time, that even cutting things that we know we probably won't use may still end up being out of the fund balance at the end of the year, because we need some of these things to happen in order to balance. But that is one. Same thing with the Piranha hard drive destruction. When you are finished with a computer, like I said, you you for 2-3 years you can throw them in a bin and pay for them whenever you can get around to them, and you keep the old hard drives locked in a secure closet somewhere. It is something you can do. It's then moving on to the bigger printed items, you can reduce the levy to support one of the capital funds using alternative funding or eliminate items from that fund. So, for example, you could take more landfill siting revenue out of the capital improvement fund, move it to the general fund, and add more borrowing, or just decide you're not going to do projects. You can reduce the frequency of payroll to biweekly. Right now, we pay every 2 weeks. You reduce it to biweekly, you get two payrolls out in a year, and you'd save about $2,700. Now, I'd have to probably renegotiate, work a couple things out with some union language that we have, and so it'd be a lot of work for $2,700, but theoretically it's something that could be done. I just put in a whole group there possible impacts on employees, because when you're looking for cuts, all of these are valid things on the table. You can do layoffs. You can reduce the anticipated wage increase. You can delay the anticipated wage increase instead of taking effect in July. You can have it take effect in August or further. Furloughs, you can increase the health premium contribution further. You can modify the plan design to try to get under a zero increase. We've actually brought our premium down or flat every year since 2012. So that's why you don't see a lot, but we could try and do that further. Could reduce some part-time hours. A really, really bad idea would be recalculating our new pay plan instead of the 65th percentile to the 60th. We just adopted that last November. I think it would not reflect well to change that already.
It goes into effect July?
The budget anticipated that the wage increase necessary to meet what is estimated to be the marketplace increase we would do in July of 2017.
Because we did it 1 month.
Because we did it this past July.
What's 1 month do? Dollar-wise. You don't have the answer now, but I'll ask that.
Yeah. I think you're only talking the small tens of thousands. Yeah, like 14,000, something like that, if that. It's not huge.
Impact on morale.
But we can calculate that. You could eliminate a newsletter. We do 5 newsletters a year. The printing and postage for each one adds up to $3,650. You probably could reduce the labor attorney. It's already taken a cut, but I do most of it. Most years, that's one of the line items that turns back quite a bit. But if I don't settle the current open contract, what we have there may not be nearly half enough. We could need another $25,000. But so you probably could do that. I don't like this next one very much. In this budget, one of the slides we had in the budget presentation was the fact that we need more money to our building maintenance plan, and we're using some fund balance to do it in the long term. But to make that use of fund balance for an operating expense not seem inappropriate to the financial markets, we did the first year of a 3-year plan to increase the ongoing funding basis of building maintenance, and we did that by $20,100. You could shave that back some, but we do need to be at that level to keep it a 3-year plan to increase that as the police, fire, police department, fire departments, and City Hall get older. In the budget, there's, I believe, $80,000 for economic development fees. $25,000 of that is funded on an ongoing basis, meaning it's out of the regular budget. You could reduce that some. I do believe it's useful to have that, and the numbers, based upon the work we've seen done in the last year and a half, seemed an appropriate one to at least be able to have something happen before you're going to contingency or budget modifications. But that theoretically is an area that could be reduced. I think the final budget for MADEC has come through, and I might be able to shave up to $1,500 off of that one. If we went in, I put nickel and dimes these kind of line items that we talked about. There's 49 line items in the contractual services. There's another large group of them in the supplies accounts. And if we went through and just looked at each one and found 75 of them that, by an average, we could peel $50 here, $100 here, $500 out of one, if we could get $200 out of an average of 75 line items, you get $15,000 out, but that's probably going to come right out of your over expenditure at the end of the year. It's really just a way of doing the same thing without increasing that number anymore. But it is a way you could do. One idea that's always floated when we've been really tight is the things that are not direct city functions that we support, which are senior travel, Franklin Senior Citizens, civic celebrations, and St. Martin's. Again, I don't think reducing any of those is a good idea. But I think it's, since it's been pointed out to me in years past, it would not be appropriate for me to totally ignore the fact that they're part of our budget. Reduce any operations affected by overtime. Again, I think these are particularly bad ideas because I don't think our situations are that dire yet. But you know, direct the police chief or fire chief to on days where they're going to be pushing overtime to alter staffing levels instead. You know, there are some communities that have fire departments that close in certain areas on like weekends because they figure that they don't have the same travel in that area, for example. We could also do that with our DPW. With Act 10, we have greater ability to tell an employee, you know what, it's going to snow tonight, so we don't need you at 7 o'clock, come in at noon, and we save 5 hours of overtime. There are a lot of other, there are communities I know where their human resources are having trouble with retention and getting people to respond. By having made those sorts of changes and by having gone to the federal FLSA standard, which would sort of be another thing you could list here, we specifically, when Act 10 was passed, did a study on that, and the Common Council at the time said the potential savings of eliminating as much FLSA overtime as possible between DPW and dispatch, which on a bad snow year was about $25,000, I think, wasn't worth the potential operations. Our guys do an excellent job of responding to our call for service and working forever, and I would not want to encourage any reductions there, nor necessarily in the police or fire in this area. We gave you a report on that that showed that both chiefs are doing a good job of managing it within the constraints they have and staffing leaves and absences. But that was the kind of things that we were able to come up with to show you if you wanted to find cuts. This would be one you could do. I will note that in going through the 500 line items, the labor attorney one was left off this. It should have been included. I did put it here, so I didn't do it because it was one of my line items. It was just overlooked.
Counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I think, you know, the And it's not necessary that we have the discussion tonight. I mean, what's the process? We make changes tonight. That's what goes out to the notice. Was that what goes in the newsletter or not the newsletter? That goes out for public hearing. Is that correct?
It goes to the official statutorily required public notice in the paper.
So basically, if we do nothing tonight, it goes out to the general public, the budget that the mayor recommended, which was that was in the newsletter, if I recall. So that was in the newsletter. And if we make changes when we come back after, you know, for the public hearing and then when we adopt the budget, we're talking, if we get to 0%, we're talking $100,000, $110,000 to get there. So it's not like we're redoing the entire budget. It's not like we've made making major changes. Either we're deciding as a body we want to be at 0%, and there's things that, you know, I could recommend doing. I'm not sure if I necessarily want to do that yet. I mean, I think this, I'm just digesting this today. I know Mark put in a lot of time to get this to us. There's other things that, you know, that I'm considering. But then we have to make a decision, each one of us, whether or not we want to, you know, be at 0% or not. You know, we ask, you know, our residents live within their means. We're obviously making a decision. We're going to, you know, collect a little bit more than we have the last couple years. You know, we have, and maybe briefly we can talk about, because I have, I'm on a time constraint. I have till 8 o'clock, Your Honor, just so you know, and then I'll be excusing myself. We have a fund balance of that, of what, 6.7, is that right, $6.7 million roughly? That's our piggy bank. That's our rainy day fund, which I think right now, based on our conversation today, is about 28%. Is that correct? Is that right? Where we're at?
Today's number or the number?
Today's number is 28%, but the proposed number will be 24%.
23.4.
Okay, so basically, you know, we have a policy here that we've adopted between 15 and 30%. So we're in the, you know, today at the upper level, I would say then we're, you know, ranked in the middle or so with this year's budget. If we say, all right, we're going to do 0% and you guys figure out how to, you know, how to do that, come back in a couple weeks and get us to 0%, and then we don't do it, we don't hit their number, we got to still pay our bills, and we go into fund balance, that $100,000 we have to take out, so that's about 0.5% roughly. So then we go from 23.4 to 22.9. All right, no one, we haven't budgeted poorly. You know, we haven't made huge mistakes. You know, I see the former chairman of finance out there that put in more years than I have, but I've been doing this or up here, or at least being involved or paying attention, since 2008. We've never had a budget where we're like, man, we screwed up by a ton. We've added money to it. We've planned to spend it down. That's what we're doing here. We're planning on spending it down from 28% to 23.5%. So I guess it's up to each one of our guts or our beliefs or how do we get here. You know, the mayor, I served with him for 5 years as an alderman. The first four budgets that I served with him, 2009, 10, 11, and 12, those four were no votes, voted no. He voted no against the budget, brought in, made motions, made amendments to cut. I think only when Lyle was here did he get Lyle Soans, late Lyle Soans, did he get a second. Those failed. Then when we had a 0%, his fifth budget that I served with him, fifth budget, it was 0% Tom Taylor brought in, and he made motions to cut. We can do better. So as mayor, first budget, 0%. Second budget, increase, which this council said zero. Third budget, increase. And now it's up to us what we want to do. That's just the facts. That you go back to check the voting record, that's the facts. Different than he was as an alderman, as he has in at least the last two budgets. So we have to decide what do, you know, we want to do as elected officials. Are we okay with this? I mean, you can see some of the cuts that could be more painful than others. Do we want to go down that path? That's up for each of us to decide. I don't think necessarily I'm prepared to make any motions tonight. I think I would do that after the public hearing because they said we're not going to change the budget dramatically. So I'm just throwing it out there. I said, just received this today, you know, maybe an hour ago, so I'm still digesting, and you know, and I work in a different world where all the amendments are written on paper. You actually see them, you can understand them. You know, they're very clear. That's what we did last time. I brought in the amendments, the three amendments that I brought in, this body adopted. That's what I would plan on doing because I just received this today. I'm not going to wing it. It's too important. So that's just my thoughts, and thank you, Your Honor.
Alderman Barber.
Again, I want to thank you guys for putting this together, the second piece especially. I mean, it's going to give us options. We have to think about, just like Alderman Taylor said, but looking at that as what the options might be is helpful.
Alderman Mayer.
Thanks, guys, for putting this together. It's very good, very professional, very objective. You did a good job. You did what you were tasked to do. But I personally don't support any of these cuts. We've cut and cut and cut. We have to start thinking about sustainability. We've cut. We need to put the brakes on, but we need to move on. And cutting, what are we going to have the police department off, the police officers off of the street so they can wash their car? That doesn't make any sense. And we can go line by line on these things. And I don't support any of this at all. Thank you. But thank you for doing it, Mark.
Alderman Mayer.
Well, I mean, I guess I just want to say, like, how much time was put into this? Was just this off the top of your heads kind of thing, or can we get a more complete list, more ideas?
I'll be honest. Without more direction, it's hard to come up with a more complete list. For example, you look at the personnel section. I mean, I could come up with 30 scenarios just in that topic. But if you're not looking at layoffs or staff reductions, then I don't need to do that. If you want us to go through individual line items and identify 75 line items that we could get an average of 200 out and find $15,000, we can do that. I didn't think that you wanted me to spend that level of detail. So, you know, some of these came off spending the time putting the first sheet together that I talked about. So that sheet took some time, but I knew I was looking for both things at the same time. Some of these are ideas when we were trying to initially balance the budget. We were writing down ideas, and so some of these we had. But, you know, it takes a few hours to try to come up with something new because we've already spent, you know, dozens and dozens of hours trying to get the budget to where it is. So some of those ideas came from that. So it becomes very challenging to come up with more than that.
This sheet with $113,000 and $124,000, those amounts came from who? Who came up with
That's just using the payroll and payroll spreadsheets we use, where we actually distribute the costs that occur in the self-insurance fund and then calculate an estimated premium, calculate it through with the employer-employee share, and that shows up in each of the department sections in the health insurance line item in their budget. So what we did was said, from what was originally submitted to you, okay, where we anticipated a 5% premium increase, we said with this reduction we can eliminate that 5% premium increase. What does that do to all the numbers? And it changes all those different pages of the budget book. So that's why we prepared this, prepared a written schedule like that. So it's
okay. So since the departments brought through their request to the mayor, then what's the process that the mayor goes through to bring us his recommended budget? Or does he take the department's requests and?
No, I believe the budget even has a line item that shows
mayor's.
No, it's just the mayor's recommended. No, each department submits theirs, and then it goes through sort of multiple levels of review depending upon the nature of the line item. So Paul and I often review individual ones, and we'll go back to department heads. This particular year, we did go back to department heads and ask for some reductions. This year, I created a table that went back for each of 5 years and looked at every line item non-personnel that we had and found out which line items historically had money being turned back. And then I used that five-year analysis. It sort of spit out an answer. And then I went back individually and looked at the detail of those to identify which ones. So effectively it was those cuts were already cutting into money that historically was probably turning over and solving that $400,000 piece, but they were excess appropriations. Then there's other line items that we deal with group evaluations, such as fuel. So departments submit what they think they'll need for fuel, whereas Paul can pull that all together citywide across the departments and look at trends and apply a consistent application. So some of the utilities and fuel, things like that, we do a broader review of and incorporate it. But so every line item gets at least some level of review other than just what the department head submits. And if you look at the summary sheet I handed you today, if you look through your budget document, you can see the departments put in pretty good footnotes that defend and explain where their numbers come from. So that's in your document, but that's also part of what we review and read through to make sure the submissions make sense.
Okay, thank you.
Action on the item? No action, is there?
Mark's got something to say.
Mr. Liberta.
The only item I would encourage you to look at so that in case questions come up, we would be prepared at that budget hearing at evening because it does tend to create some discussion, is beginning on page 351, which is the capital improvement fund. Those are your major projects that has your major borrowing. It would be good to have an understanding that the nature and manner in which we've listed those projects are appropriate for the public hearing notice.
But if you're looking for money to cut the additional $99,310, that's not where you go.
Yeah, that really doesn't help you on the operating side. But
on the borrowing? You're talking about the capital projects?
Borrowing's a separate whole issue than trying to get to a zero limit.
Sure. I think Mark, which I put down a little note on the very first one on that handout, was reduce the levy support in one of the capital funds and use alternative funding or limited items of fund balance. So you could actually borrow.
Correct. That increases your cost in follow-on years.
I understand that. And actually, Your Honor, you should be thanking me for the last budget when I cut $1 million, and this council did. And instead of borrowing $2 million, we borrowed $1 million, which meant that you didn't have that to deal with this year. So I understand how that works.
That's good.
Yeah. So
anyone else?
Well, I will be bringing in a motion. I'm not doing it now, but in there was a future project. And I don't like when there's future project when we already have dealt with it. But a future project that's not funded or anything, just it's listed in future projects, is the trail in Franklin Woods, paving it, which this council already took that out last time, is something that we're not doing. And so I don't know how it got back in there, but it's back in there. But I will be bringing in a motion to eliminate that item. We don't need to do it now because it's not something we're funding this next time around, but that's going to come out because I don't, once it slips in, then it's like, oh, this body said this is something we're doing in the future. I think we already went on record. We listened to the neighbors of that area. They didn't want it. They're adamant against it. It's one thing that they put down more times or not in all the surveys, which reminds me we have to have a neighborhood meeting regarding the alcohol situation with those people at some point, even though I don't think there's been any issues.
If that's the Franklin Woods connectivity trail,
yeah.
That was just listed as a request. It was not funded in this year.
No, it's not funded. I'm saying it's a request.
But it's not listed as in a forecast for any year out to 2020.
But why is it in there?
Because it was a request of the department. In this section, we do have a column that says requested budget.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but we took it out. We took that out as a body. So I'm going to take that out. I'd like to take that out as alderman of the district. That's something that the people in my area were loud and clear on. So
What page is that?
356.
I mean, I'll just, we don't have to do it now. It doesn't affect, you know, so.
Ms. Mayor, if I might, one of the principles that government staff is asked to do is to be transparent in how budgeting is done. So if a department head or a commission requests something, this document documents the fact that that department head or commission requested the item. The mayor's recommended budget is what the mayor has said, even though the department requested this, it is either included or not included. But it allows you as a policymaking body to understand what was requested versus what is now included so that you can make the decision about, sometimes you want to know what was requested and not agreed to.
Right, but if we take it out and then next year it comes
Alderman
back.
Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. If we take it out like we did last time and then we take it out again, then maybe the department would know not to submit it at all. I mean, that's a message I would say. I mean, it was a pretty frank discussion a year ago. I don't know why it's here again.
All right. Seeing that there's no action on this item, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries. Committee hall is adjourned.